In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the deep, and the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. We got to let that sink in. We want to hear from God. The God who said light, and there was light. In fact, Genesis chapter 1 will begin with this idea of God speaking creation into existence. When God speaks, things happen. When I speak, not so much happens. Like maybe if I have Alexa or Google, you know, like I could mess with everyone's phones right now and say, "Hey, Google," right? But what we've been invited to do is listen and hear a word from God. I am Paul. I've had the opportunity to serve as a Navy chaplain. I retired last year. I've transitioned, and now I get to work with the Salvation Army. I love what I get to do. I primarily focus on issues around homelessness and those experiencing different forms of poverty. It's super exciting. I also do have an amazing family. We have teenagers in our home right now, and I'm still sane. At least that's what the voices tell me. But anyway, you guys didn't come here to hear about me. We came here to listen and look at God. And so with that, let's look at this idea of hearing from God through God's word. Having a specific word is a great spiritual practice that this discipline, that this church practices. And we're going to start with the Bible in order to position ourselves to most effectively hear from God. I was really excited when they said, "Hey, you can talk about the Bible," because I'm one of those like theology geeks. I actually had the opportunity to earn my Master's of Divinity. I survived taking the original languages, the ancient languages of Greek and Hebrew that the Bible was written in. I'm also that really annoying guy who critiques sermons. I'm that guy. I'm like, "I don't know if he used it in the proper context," you know. Yeah, that's me. But it's because we actually believe that the Bible is the Word of God. We believe it's uniquely inspired. We believe it has power. I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask you to get ready. If we take this spiritual discipline seriously, then we're inviting ourselves to hear from God, the God who said light, and there was light. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for your word. We just ask that you would lead and guide our conversation, that you'd lead this time, and that you would be honored by it. In your son's name, amen. In keeping with the theme of hearing words, a specific word or hearing a word, I have four specific words I'd like you to walk away with today. The first is the word "no." You know, everyone has an idea of God. As Christians, our idea of God comes from the Bible. I started by quoting the beginning of Genesis. The first three chapters of Genesis actually give us this very powerful foundation. Right, we see that God is the creator. We find out that we're actually made in the very image of God. And because of a decision by Adam and Eve, our relationship with God is damaged. Now, I want to actually pause and address the skeptic. And I actually hope that there's skeptics that are here, because then we're actually being an inclusive community. We ought to be a place where people who are doubt or wrestle feel like they can come and engage. You know, the Bible opens with a story of creation that is often debated. Right? By chapter 3, we have a talking snake. And we have to acknowledge that there are people who will struggle and wrestle with that. I would invite you, if you're a skeptic, that there are scholars, even atheist scholars, who truly appreciate the depth that the Bible brings to the table. Because there is a story there, and that story is powerful. And here's kind of the cool reality. The opening chapters of the Bible, you're going to get to the same place whether you take it literally or you simply take it as a story, right? It doesn't matter, because what you're going to see is an offer that we believe God is all-powerful and a creator. You're going to hear what we believe about humanity, that we're made in God's image, and you're going to learn about our relationship with God. So if you're a skeptic, read those opening chapters of the Bible, not to prove history, but rather to start to understand how we understand God. If you're not a skeptic, then it's a great opportunity to see how we understand God. So here's a freebie. For those of you who are kind of wondering how to start reading your Bible, or if you're a skeptic and you're like, "How do I want to engage the Bible?" Here's three great questions you can ask. Anytime you read a passage, you can say, "Hey, what do I learn about God? What do I learn about people? And what do I learn about my relationship with God? Three very simple questions that you can ask regardless of where you're at on your spiritual journey. Now, I don't want to get too wrapped up into all the elements of the Bible. I do want to whet your appetite, though, and get you excited about getting into your Bible. We have a book that was written over a period of 1,500 years. The book of Genesis, we would say, was written 3,500 years ago. 2,000 years ago, we have the New Testament being written. And one of those testaments that was written was a guy by the name of John, wrote the Gospel of John. We had our first three Gospels that had already been written when John wrote his. We had Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And they gave a great historical picture of Jesus. John wanted to add depth and understanding. So if you would like, you can turn in your Bibles. If you have the blue Bibles, it's on page 517, and it's the opening chapter of John, the Gospel of John. And I want you to catch what he does to add to the discussion about how we understand God and how we understand our relationship with God. John begins his Gospel by saying, this might sound familiar, "In the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." You see what John just did. When we move beyond the Bible just simply being like rules or dry history, we actually see literary style and poetry and wisdom and ideas being offered and us to be able to consider them. How did God create in Genesis? By speaking. John begins with, "In the beginning was the Word." What was the first thing God created? Light. And we see in this opening verses, John pulling in a deeper meaning and understanding of what light could be. He goes on, and I'm going to start by reading verse 14, but then I want us to look at verses 9 through 14. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." What's Jesus saying, or what's John saying about Jesus? He's God. If I want to see God, I look at Jesus. If I want to know God, I need to know Jesus. If I want to understand God, I need to understand Jesus. You know, there's a lot of worldviews and lots of ways of thinking about God. Christians, we center our understanding and our knowledge of God around who we believe Jesus is and what Jesus did. Trick question, where do I learn about Jesus? The Bible, right? To quote a very powerful theological song that some of you may have learned, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." Those of you who know it can join me, right? "Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He..." Okay, you got to join me, this is really painful. "They are strong, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so." Now you know why I'm not on the worship team. Okay? But if we really want to hear from God, we have to ground ourselves in the Bible. This is where we get our understanding, our stories, our knowledge about God. This is also how we make sure we focus on the right things. You see, I did that. I brought my second word up, focus. I just introduced it. And so if we want to actually understand God or know God, then we also are going to use the Bible so that we can stay focused on the things of God. Let's look at these verses 9 through 14 in John chapter 1. "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him. Yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. But all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." So John seems to be saying some pretty incredible things, right? God walked among us. True light was in our midst. And people missed it. Not everyone, but a lot did. The Old Testament would talk about a Messiah coming. So when Jesus appears to his own people, they should have received him. They rejected him. If we were honest, right, the world kind of will give a fist pump to Jesus. Yay, go Jesus. Especially like after Christmas, around Christmas time, we go, yeah, Jesus is pretty nice. But John is saying something much deeper. Remember my three questions. What do we learn about God? We learn Jesus is God. What do we learn about people? People will miss it. What do we learn about our relationship with God? It's based on faith. Verse 12, who believe in his name and God's work. Verse 13, not the will of man, but of God. Why do we miss it? Because our focus is easily shifted. All right, this is a safe place. Who's been tempted to check their phone? Who's kind of, yeah, right? Okay, who's wanted to answer a text message? Who's thinking about something that they need to do next week, right? We do this. This is part of our human nature, is that we can get very easily distracted. And it's not just individuals. Organizations do it too. Who has been in that meeting where about halfway through you're like, why are we even here? Yes, right? Organizations, this happens all the time. Business bookshelves are full of books about how to stay focused. I had the opportunity to take a business class, and it was an interesting book that I had to read in that class, and it was talking about this manufacturing plant that was doing great on all of the statistics and all of the measurements for manufacturing stuff, but their company was losing money. And over the course of that book, it talked about how that plant manager had to shift his focus on what was the goal of the company, which was to be profitable. And he had to realign himself so that he could actually then be doing those things that would help his company make its goal, which is to stay in business and make money. Businesses aren't the only places. In a room this size, I am sure someone in here has been hurt by the church. Why would we be hurt by the church? The church should be totally focused because it's made of humans and we lose our focus. There's churches sometimes we can get wrapped up on rules or style or status, just like any other organization. And so we need to have ourselves grounded in the Word of God so that we can actually be able to stay focused. In the end of verse 14, John said, Jesus is full of grace and truth. In verse 17, John says, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. There's a lot of depth about this idea of grace and truth, and we need both. We actually need both grace and truth. We also need to know when to focus on which one at which time. There's been plenty of times I've needed to face a difficult situation in my life, but I like to focus on grace. I don't want to look at that truth. And there's plenty of times I've needed to extend grace, but I've made sure that I've shared the truth. Anyone else like that? We naturally can lose our focus, even with the best of intentions. It becomes even more important because one of the things that we learn from the Bible is that Jesus is going to return, and when he comes back, it's going to be to actually ask, okay, hey, you know what? I gave you all of this knowledge. What did you do with it? Imagine if you were in a math class and everything hinged on your final exam. So you wrote the best paper on Shakespeare ever. You actually really understood and were able to explain the meaning of Hamlet. You caught all the intricacies of Romeo and Juliet. It was so good. You actually sent it to a publisher who gave you a book deal. And then you got your grade for the math class and it was an F. And you're like furious. And you go to the math teacher and you even bring the book deal with you. And you're like, look, this paper was great. And your math teacher, she's going to go, yes, that was a great paper. But this was a math class. And I gave you a math test with math problems. We got to acknowledge that it's very easy for us to get distracted. It's very easy for us to shift our focus so that we're focused now on the wrong things. The only way I can stay grounded and focused is if I stay in the Word of God. There's a great story about William Booth. He was the founder of the Salvation Army. And in 1910, towards the end of his life, he was going to miss their annual convention because of his health. And believe it or not, in 1910, there was no Twitter. Like, what was he going to do? So they actually had the telegraph. Yeah, so he's going to send a telegram. But you had to pay by the word. And so he didn't want to spend a whole lot of money that could be used to help people in poverty, so he decided to send a single word. That word was others. He came to that word after a life spent following God and serving humanity. His foundation, the word. I will tell you that this does take effort, and effort is our third word. Long ago, before Google or Wikipedia, I started with this, the good old-fashioned NIV study Bible. And I had to, I didn't have the internet there, you know, it was the newfangled thing. And so I was having to get and build that foundation so I could actually get myself a working knowledge. Towards my end of my late 20s, I started developing a discipline where I just read through the Bible. And I would read through, I'd use different plans, but once I read through the Bible, I would start again. And I just continually have maintained that discipline of reading through the Bible, so much so that I have lost count the number of times I've read the Bible cover to cover. The reason I share that with you is to make you feel super guilty. No, it's not. I share that with you because now at this point in my life, I'm so thankful for that. I've had the opportunity to watch God do some amazing things, and I've appreciated the depth of what God is doing because I've grounded myself in the Word of God. Now, I still will have doubts. There'll still be passages that I'm going to wrestle with, but I do recognize that as I dive deep into this book, I still haven't reached the bottom. There's still more there, and I love that. And we kind of get that, right? If there's something that's important to us, we dive in. If you want to be a doctor, you're going to learn human anatomy. If you want to be an artist, you're going to immerse yourself in that art. If you want a relationship with that cute girl, you're going to take the time and energy to get to know her. If we're going to take our relationship with God seriously, we have to know the Bible. And here's the exciting news. We all have the ability to do it. Right? In Matthew 25, Jesus tells a story about a man who goes on a journey and he leaves each one of his servants with some talents. When he returns, he wants to see what they did with them. One guy he gave five and that guy earned five more. One guy he gave two, that guy earned two more. He gave one guy one and that guy buried it. And the master got really mad. The issue wasn't because the number of talents, but what the person did with the talents they were given. When it comes to knowing and understanding the Bible, if we live in this country, we have five talents. We have five talents. What are those talents? First of all, we are human. God knew what he was doing when he made us. We are incredibly resilient and incredibly capable. A lot of you said you wanted to use your phone, so go ahead. You can pull out your phone. No, seriously. Yeah, go ahead. Pull out your phone. I got a challenge just to prove this. Pull up the social media platform of your choice. You can go ahead. So if it's Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, I'll use Facebook. And now here's what we're going to do. We're just going to scroll through our newsfeed. And if you find a story about someone who overcame something or someone who achieved something great, just shout it out. Say overcomer or achiever. Okay, let's see how long it takes to find that. Oh, cool. Here's a pretty cool thing about a couple of people who have done some pretty amazing things. I'm finding... Oh, there you go. I've found a couple already. Who else? Anyone else find some pretty amazing stories about humanity on their news feeds? Yeah. God knew what he was doing. We have incredible capacity and capability to understand and know God's word. Oh, and by the way, you just showed our second talent, right? We have access to technology. There's really creative people who have created cool apps. There's really creative people who've developed good videos. There's so much out there that we actually can access that's pretty amazing. And we recognize different learning styles. So not only can you have access to great content, you can actually craft it in a way that's most meaningful for you. And that's not all. If you order now, right? We also have a community, right? We have life groups. We encourage people to be in discipleship. You actually have a community of people that want to help you get grounded and understand. And oh, by the way, we have the Holy Spirit. We're promised that God is going to help us understand the Bible. A lot of places in the world, they just have to rely on two talents. They rely on the Holy Spirit and the ability that God has given them. Here in our country, we have five. Let me tell you, devotionals are good and helpful. Receiving an inspirational verse daily is great, but I would also encourage you to go further. We ought to have a good, solid, working knowledge of the Bible. We started this series to find our one word with the Bible for a reason. We want to make sure God is who we're hearing from. We want to make sure we focus on what God is saying. The only way we can know, the only way we can stay focused, is if we put effort into knowing God's word. For my last word, I have to give you a warning. The Bible will make demands. G.K. Chesterton is attributed with this quote, "Christianity has not been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and left not tried." The author of Hebrews tells us, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joint and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intention of the heart." Anyone here like the idea of their marrow being separated from their joints? Ow! Doesn't that kind of sound a little bit painful? It's like the DirecTV commercials, you know, about cable. Some people like hitting their head on the wall. You know, some people like pouring coffee on themselves. I have to warn you that the Bible is going to make demands. It will be inconvenient. One of the talents we've been given is the Holy Spirit. Jesus said one of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to convict. We will be challenged. We will be forced to make choices. The best way to illustrate this would probably be to compare two stories. Wonder where I could find two stories that would help me understand God and the demands he could make on my life. This is where you say the Bible. That's a great idea. Well, in fact, the Gospel of Luke has two stories right next to each other that we can kind of look at. So I'm just going to whet your appetite. I'm just going to touch on them. I'd encourage you to go into these stories because there's a lot more depth that I'm not going to cover. In Luke chapter 18, we're told of a rich young man who wants to know how to have eternal life. He comes to Jesus and asks him what it will take. And Jesus starts out by kind of giving him some safe answers. You know, are you following the Ten Commandments? And the young man's like, yep, I'm doing that. In today's terms, it would be kind of like saying, you know what, I'm environmentally conscious, I give to charity, I volunteer, basically I'm a good person. Jesus tells him that he just lacks one thing. All he has to do is sell everything and follow him. Why? Remember, our relationship is not based on being a good person. John told us, those who believed, it's based on faith. Jesus is one word for this young man, trust. Young man can't do it. He walks away. This is a warning for you and me. Jesus is the word. We're going to come to the word, and we're going to ask Jesus to give us a word. What if his word is sacrifice, forgive, serve? What if it's the word we need to hear but don't want to hear? Luke 19 tells us the story of a tax collector named Zacchaeus. He probably does take exceptions to kids calling him a wee little man. For those of you who don't know, there's a child story song that goes, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Right? And so he's probably like, hey, really? Really? You know? I mean, I might be short, but I climbed a sycamore tree after all, you know? But anyway, I digress. He comes to the word, and Jesus says, hey, I want to go to your house. Zacchaeus is so moved by his encounter with Jesus that he gives away half of what he has, and he pays back everyone he cheated times four. Basically, he sells everything. Now, if I went to his house a couple of years later and asked him how he was doing, he would probably tell me things were hard. You know, he most likely walked away from being a tax collector because he no longer wanted to cheat people. He was probably struggling financially. But there was probably also a gleam in his eye. While he didn't have what the world would maybe call success, he had what the rich man who walked away lacked. He had a personal relationship with God based on faith. So are you ready? We want to hear from God. The God who said light, and light appeared. To prepare ourselves, we have to know God. We have to stay focused. It will take effort. We must be prepared for for the demands that God may make. Now, we're going to have some material in the back about how to study the Bible, and we're also going to email that out. If you need some help or if that'd be useful for you in getting yourself grounded in the Word. We also are going to have people who will be able to pray with you in the back during our final worship set. Let me tell you this, Zacchaeus was radically changed when he encountered the Word. My prayer is that you and I will also be radically changed. Our starting point is the Bible. The Bible is how we know God. The Bible will keep us focused. Yes, it will take effort. But if we listen, it will be totally worth it. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you dwelt among us. Thank you for your Word. Thank you that we can know you. Help us stay focused. Lord, as we put in the effort, lead and guide, give us that Word that's grounded in your Word. We ask this in your Son's name.